Another good player. You know, I think when he went out, you saw the emergence of Randall Cobb on offense. He'd always played a key role on special teams, but he went from being sort of a gadget player on offense to being an integral part of their offense in the slot. And you never really noticed that Greg Jennings was missing. But now that he's back, it's another playmaker for him on offense. They use a lot of four wide receiver sets, even four wide receivers and a tight end, no running back in the game. So it gives him another guy on offense. It's obviously an experienced guy, an explosive playmaker.
Think about the decision to shelve Titus for the
year? You know, very similar to Jason Fox last year with his knee. It's something that's been on the radar since the spring, and we'll move on without him. Yeah, doesn't change the fact that he needed to have it done.
Do you stay in contact with him beyond just the physical therapy and whatever that you have and all that stuff?
Yeah, we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
He's having surgery then?
Yeah, most likely. I mean, yes, unless he doesn't show up for it.
talk about the rebuilt receiver core now. Just what's your, for the short term, what can you get out of that other than Calvin?
We expect to operate at full capacity on offense. You know, we'll bring Chris Durham up to the active roster. Brought Lance Long in. He made a lot of plays for us in preseason. Mike Thomas is one more week, you know, in the offense. Robiski's been here. You know, all those guys have credentials. All those guys can make plays. We got quarterback that can get them the ball. And we expect all those guys to play and play well. In the last game we played, we didn't get very much production out of our wide receivers. I mean, Calvin, you know, does what he does, but we didn't give a whole lot of other contributions, so I expect this game will even be better than we were last game.
Durham was a monster against protection his last year at Georgia. Was that a vertical threat, or is it some reason he averaged over 20 yards per reception?
He's got speed. He's got size. You know, he'd had some injuries in college, and, you know, it's a great opportunity for guys like that. You know, we've seen Joik Bell, who labored on practice squads for a couple of years and was sort of waiting for an opportunity, and when he did, he made the most of it. And that's what a guy like Chris Durham, Brian Robiski, you know, possibly even Lance Long, that's what their task is.
Is there any carryover? Durham played with Stafford at Georgia.
You know, I think the carryover is that Chris Durham has probably caught more passes in practice than any other receiver that we've had because he's been out there practicing every day. We went through about a month where Calvin barely practiced at all. And we talked about Titus before. Titus wasn't practicing very much. Nate Burleson went down, and Chris got a lot of Calvin's plays in practice. And, you know, with the quarterback, he was going to where he would try to go in a game, and as a result, he threw an awful lot. I'd play more into that than what happened 4 years ago or 5 years ago, whatever it's been now at Georgia.
Is it unusual for a practice squad player to get reps with the offense, though, or not?
Not really. I mean, we have practice squad players that get reps on defense. I mean, you have injury situations. You know, it's just the way it is. You have to be able to operate and be able to practice. And just losing one person or losing a couple guys, you still can't do it. I mean, I was in Tennessee for a decade. We had 1 year where our starting quarterback barely practiced at all. Neil O'Donnell let us practice all week, and then Steve McNair would come out on Sundays and play. But we still had to practice, and we still had to, you know, get all the timing and routes and everything else. So we'd have to do the same thing when we have injuries here.
There's a documentary out about Barry Sanders. Do you remember your reaction by any chance when he played?
Yeah, actually, I was part of the last game he played. He played Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore. You know, it's one of those weeks you don't sleep very well the whole week because, you know, you lose about 10 pounds because you see there's no scheme that can really stop him. You know, and I think that it's rare nowadays that guys retire when they're at the top of their game. You know, I think that, you know, there's something to be said for guys to walk away on their own terms. You know, Jim Brown did it. Barry Sanders did it. I think that's pretty good company.
He celebrated the news that he was
What's that?
You had to, as a defensive guy, you had to celebrate the fact.
Well, we were an AFC team, so it was going to be three more years. We figured that would probably be the last time that we got him. But, you know, I did that once with Favre also. You know, it was like, okay, that'll be the last one. You know, we got four more years to see Favre, and then he gets, you know, traded to the AFC or, you know, signs in the AFC or something like that. But, you know, those guys that can't be put out of a game with scheme, those guys are special. You know, we have one right here in Calvin Johnson. You know, every week they start the game plan with, you know, hey, we have to stop Calvin Johnson. I'm sure when Barry Sanders was here every week, every opponent started with, we can't let Barry Sanders beat us. I know we did. You know, but it's those guys that can still have production regardless and still have not just 1 year of production, but have careers of production when they're marked men. So those guys are Hall of Famers, obviously.
Jim, in the offseason, Greg Jennings questioned whether you guys were the kind of team that could keep your composure throughout the whole season. How do you feel you've done that? How been successful at doing that?
The only thing we judge ourselves on our record, and we're 4-8, so we obviously haven't done a lot. We got a lot of respect for Greg Jennings. Look forward to seeing him on Sunday. I mean, he's a top competitor, and he's entitled to his opinion. But the only thing that we're judging ourselves on is our record. And like I said, we don't have to look past that to not be happy with where we are right now.
You guys have a lot of passing close games with him, and they're physical games. Do you feel that there's a rivalry with the Packers, especially when it's kind of one-sided as the ones?
Third division team, there better be. You know, we haven't won in Lambeau for about 20 years or whatever it's been. So, you know, anytime you have division opponents, you play them twice a year. There's definitely a rivalry there, even if it's been one sided. It's our job to get that back. Playing close games isn't enough. We have to come out with a win.
What makes
playing in Lambeau so tough?
Just like anywhere else, you know, we have, you know, good fans. Crowded stadium. Every place you go in the NFL is a tough place to play. In our division, Minnesota is a very difficult place to play. Chicago's a difficult place. Green Bay, they all, you know, a little different surface at each place, outdoors/indoors. We have to win on the road, and certainly be able to a good sign of where we can go and what we can do would be getting a win at Lambeau.
Every field is tough, but you haven't won there in over 20 years, so that place is probably tougher than every other field.
Only thing I'm concerned, we haven't won there in 4 years. I can't speak for the whatever years before that.
I had a question about Sue, not just the media coverage, but it seems like weekly players on other teams are taking shots at him with things that maybe can't be substantiated that you see on film. Has it reached a point of being unfair in your opinion at all, or is it just part of the gig?
I mean, it's just part of media coverage. It's part of 24-hour access. It's part of needing to fill programming spots and everything else. I mean, I think everybody's going to ask it and try to report it and things like that. I mean, you know, when you need the league to comment that, you know, that plays were legal and stuff like that. I mean, that's just a sign of the times, and you have to live with it when you're a player. It's just, like I said before, scrutiny is part of this league. Coverage is part of this league. Just go out and play. Don't worry about stuff like that. Go out and play hard, play physical, play within the rules. Don't get penalties. And, you know, and then I think let your play speak for itself.
Do you think there's any connection between Fairley emerging and Sue coming on a little bit statistically here in the last couple of weeks?
No, I think that, you know, I think that Sue's play has been consistent the whole year. And, you know, sometimes, again, you can get too oriented in stats and stuff like that. You worry about accomplishing your job within the defense, playing tough, playing physical. He's done those kind of things. But, you know, our defensive tackles have played well. And, you know, even Corey Williams, it was good to get him back on the field. He made a couple plays for us. And he's been sorely missed. But Nick has emerged and has played well. And I think that's, You know, it's a good sign not just for Ndamukong, but it's a good sign for our defensive line. It's a good sign for our entire defense.
Does Cliff seem to throw upset? Does Cliff seem to get rid of that stuff, especially the last 3 weeks played a little
bit? Yeah, I think that, you know, particularly after the break of Thanksgiving, I think that's got a chance to be behind him.
Thank you.